I'd like to invite you to take God's Word and open it up to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verses 7 through 11. I know there's an old nursery rhyme that we all are very familiar with. It starts off like this. Mary had a little lamb. His fleece was white as snow. Not only did we have some amazing talent this morning leading our singing, but I was also impressed with the selection that Darren picked out for us. And Darren, if I recollect right, I think there was only two or three songs that didn't have the Lamb of God in the songs that we sang this morning. But thank you, Darren, for doing that. I didn't tell him to do that. It just happened to appear. It goes so well with the title of tonight's lesson. Mary's Little Lamb. Mary's Little Lamb. Read with me Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 7. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." A little lamb was born in Bethlehem. A Savior was born in Bethlehem. It was not incidental and it was not accidental that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem is about 5 miles south of Jerusalem. And the truth be known, none of us probably would never have ever heard of Bethlehem if Jesus hadn't been born there. Again, it's not incidental and it's not accidental that he was born in Bethlehem. It had been prophesied for many, many centuries. Micah chapter 5. Verse 2, if you want to put this in your notes. "But you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." The Jewish priest raised the sacrificial lambs in Bethlehem. There were fields right on the outskirts of Bethlehem. And they raised these special. They were special because they would become sacrificial lambs for the Passover. And they would look these lambs over. They had to be without defect. They would look inside the mouths. They would look inside the ears. They'd look in the eyes. They'd even take the eyelid up and look under the eyelid to make sure there was no defect. And this, folks, how fitting. How fitting is it that Jesus, a sacrificial lamb, was born right there in Bethlehem. And not only born in Bethlehem, but born in a stable. A sacrificial lamb born in a stable. Folks, your destiny, my destiny, the whole world's destiny is wrapped up right there in Mary's little lamb, the Lamb of God. There are three things I want to bring to your attention tonight. We're going to do a comparison. We're going to do the prophecy in the lamb, then we're going to look at the history of the lamb. And I want you to compare these two with me. the prophecy of the Lamb, we're going to look back in Exodus. Now, if you got your Bibles, turn back to Exodus. And let's read. We're in chapter 12 of Exodus. Let's read verses 1 through 6. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, then they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight." Now, a little background. You've got the setting here, and of course we all know the background. The Jews are in bondage of slavery. They are in Egypt, and they have a wicked, evil king. His name is Pharaoh, and he is looking over them. But we know that God has a plan. He has a plan to redeem his people. He has a plan to set his people free. But what I want you to see is that plan is wrapped up in a little bitty lamb. Now, why would God pick a lamb to deliver his people from the bondage of slavery in Egypt? He could have picked any animal. Any animal. But he picked a lamb. A lamb has no fangs. Lamb has no claws. And if you think about it, it's defenseless. It's gentle. And nothing really is scared of a lamb. But that's what God picked. God picked a lamb. If a lamb could talk, a lamb would probably look at you and just say, "Hey, if you're hungry, eat me. If you're cold, share me." There's a story that was told to be true. I don't know this for a fact, but I'm going to share it with you. There was a slaughterhouse that all they were slaughtering at that time was cattle and steers. And a man that told the story, his job was when the cattle come through, that he would take a knife to the throat. And it didn't bother him at all. But then the company began to process lambs. He didn't think he'd have a problem with it. The steers, they're all hyped up and they're goring each other. So when one come through, it didn't bother him to take a knife and slice the throat. But here come the first little lamb through. And the little lamb come through and was not acting up, wasn't hyper, wasn't anxious, just laying there. And he said the little lamb almost like he just raised his neck up for him. And he put that knife to the throat. And when he did, blood run out on his hand. And he said that little lamb just looked up at him. And then he licked the blood off of his hand. He said, "That was it. That was it." He said, "I laid the knife down and I walked out." He said, "I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it." And that's what a lamb is, folks. A lamb is just, he's presenting himself to be slaughtered. The sign, the symbol that the Egyptians had was the symbol of a serpent. And on Pharaoh's crown that he wore was a serpent up there. And it was coiled up. And on his scepter that he had, on the knob of that scepter, was a serpent. And it was coiled up. But what I want you to see, we're going to have a battle here. We're going to have a battle with a little gentle, defenseless lamb against this venomous and hissing and poisonous serpent. As we start to do this, I want you to see the two comparisons. We're going to compare the prophecy and then we're going to compare the history. But this was a special lamb. This was a special lamb. Look in verse 5 of Exodus chapter 12. The animal you choose must be a year old male without defect. You may take them from the sheep or the goats. One blemish, folks. One blemish would disqualify this lamb from becoming a sacrificial gift. One blemish. Either in the ear, in the something on its body, in its mouth, anything. One blemish. And it would no longer be usable. But not only was it a special lamb, but it was also a slain lamb. Look in verse 6. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. They took it in on the 10th. And they kept it to the 14th. And then on the 14th, they would slit the throat of that little lamb. And then they catch the blood in a basin. Same way David Roper, author of Truth of Today commentary, he symbolizes that this little lamb was the same way that Jesus was butchered on a Roman cross. Not only was this a special lamb, and not only was it a slain lamb, but it is a saving lamb. Look in verse 7. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and the tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lamb. This special lamb, this slain lamb, is now a saving lamb. Take the blood, put it on the sides of the doorpost, put it overhead. And then when you come in through and under that blood. And that blood keeps you safe. Come on down to verses 12 and 13. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on your houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. What did God say to do? Put blood on the door frames and over the door post. What could they have done? They could have written poetry over the door. They could have written some wonderful proverb over the door. They could have hung up gold and jewelry and silver. They could have even went and got a perfect lamb and tied him out there by the door. That's not what God said to do, was it? It would have done them no good whatsoever to do that. God said you put the blood on the door frame and over the door heading. So many people, they get an idea of what they want. It's like salvation. It comes through a prayer. It doesn't happen, folks. You do what God says. What did Peter say? Repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. For what? For the forgiveness of your sin. Know where it says. All you got to do is just ask Jesus into your heart. Nowhere. Nowhere does it say that. Folks, salvation does not come from the life of Christ. Salvation comes from the death of Christ. Comes from the death of Christ. Jesus never died. Our sins would still be upon us. Our salvation comes from the death of Christ. What did God say? When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. This special lamb became a slain lamb, and then he became a saving lamb, and then he became a shared lamb. The lamb was roasted. Look in verse 8. That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with the bitter herbs and the bread made without yeast. David Roper also symbolized that the roasting symbolized the fire of God's wrath that was poured out on Jesus on the cross. But can you imagine the Egyptians that night smelling all of that roasted lamb? And they're all sharing this meal. And what is going on? This community of slaves right here, right now, is becoming a nation. They're becoming a nation. David Roper said also, as they walked out of Egypt, a lamb walked out inside of them. As they walked out of Egypt, a lamb walked outside inside them. Mike touched on this morning. It is Christ in us. It's Christ in us that gives us the strength to do what we need to do. Christ living on the inside of us. The special lamb, a slain lamb, a saving lamb, and a shared lamb. What a prophecy. What a prophecy of Mary's little lamb. But now I want you to look at the lamb in history. That was the lamb in prophecy. Moses' lamb only prophesied Mary's lamb. Remember what John the Baptist said? When John the Baptist first saw Jesus approaching him, John 1 verse 29, he said, "Behold, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." John the Baptist knew. He knew then, right then and there, that babe that was born in Bethlehem was a lamb. The Lamb of God. Now, let's compare that. Jesus was a special lamb. How was Jesus special? Born of a virgin. The Father is God Almighty. No blemishes. No defects. No spots. No sin. He was a miracle lamb. Jesus was a slain lamb. John the Baptist said again, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Why was he born of a virgin? Anybody ever ask you that? Anybody ever question why was Jesus born of a virgin? So he could be sinless. Well, why does he have to be sinless? So he can make a blood atonement for us. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Well, why couldn't God just overlook our sin? Why did he have to have his son die for us? Because God is just and God is holy. And if he just overlooked it, he wouldn't be just. He'd be unjust and he would be unholy. Folks, bloodlines come from the Father. Bloodlines come from the Father. And while Mary was the earthly mother, the blood flowing through Jesus' veins was from God Almighty Himself. And a lot of people will say, "Well, no, wait a minute, Rodney. Wait a minute. God's spirit. God can't have blood in him." Well, folks, he had blood in him when Jesus walked on this earth. His blood flowed through Jesus' veins while he was on this earth. Jesus was a special lamb. Jesus was a slain lamb. You remember when we talked about the Passover lambs that were being raised in Bethlehem, just on the outside of Bethlehem? And when you get into the four Gospels, have you ever noticed how much material is spent on the last week of Jesus' life? I mean, there's a third of those four Gospels right there that just looks right at that last week of Jesus' life. And that, not the very special day, but let's back up a week. We call it Palm Sunday. Jesus is coming down from the Mount of Olives, and then he begins to walk up to the temple. And at the same time, he's going through the east gate. They're bringing in these little lambs for the sacrificial sacrifice, coming in through the sheep gate. And as those lambs come in that sheep gate, those priests, they're burying their hands down in that wool, and they're looking at them, and they're looking their ears and opening their mouth and looking under their eyelids and looking for a defect. They're examining those lambs. And when Jesus comes in that east gate into the temple, he's getting examined too. He's been examined by the Pharisees and the Sadducees, all the Jewish leaders, the scribes, the Herodians. What are they trying to do? They're trying to find fault in him. Remember what Pilate said? Pilate said, I find no fault with this man. I find no fault with this man. And then they have the mock trial and the beating. And then Jesus is going down the street in Jerusalem with a cross on his back. And they nail him to the cross. And 3 o'clock that afternoon, he told the Father he committed his spirit to him. Remember the last words? It is finished. It is finished. And about that time, they're taking the knife to those little lamb's throats. And you can pretty much say, you can hear Jesus saying, High Priest, we don't need you anymore. We don't need you. You can go home, High Priest. But people are going to come through me now. You don't have to confess your sins to somebody else. Shepherds, you can go home. You can quit raising these sacrificial lambs. Because Mary had a little lamb. And his fleece was white as snow. Jesus was a special lamb. He was a slain lamb. He was a saving lamb. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, get rid of all the old yeast that you may be a new batch without yeast as you really are. What's this next verse? For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Mary's little lamb died for you, died for me, and died for this entire world. Special lamb, a slain lamb, a saving lamb. But then Jesus also was a shared lamb. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 and 20 through 25. Very familiar to what Gary read this morning, presiding over the Lord's table. Verse 23, Paul says, For I have received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Folks, we share the lamb. We shared the lamb this morning around this table right here. But when we share this lamb, we don't come together to mourn a cope or corpse. We're not mourning the dead. We're hailing the victory, the conqueror of death. He is a shared lamb. So we compared right there. We compared the prophecy of the lamb to the history of the lamb. And the prophecy of the lamb and the history of the lamb brings us to the victory. The victory of the lamb. Now we're going all the way to the last book of the Bible in Revelation. Revelation chapter 5, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 7. I want you to see the victory. The victory of the Lamb. Now, what happens? John gets a little glimpse. He gets a vision of what heaven is like. Verse 1, chapter 5. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside of it. John said, "I wept and I wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside." Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is open. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." And then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns, seven eyes, which were the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. In verse 7, he came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Here is a special book. Here is a special book that has seven seals around this book. David Roper compares this book, quote, "It is like the title deed to the earth. It is like having the right to rule." And here's John. Here's John, and he's looking around, and there is no one there that is worthy to break the seals on this book. No angel. No philosopher, no politician, no religious person, no scientist, no demon, no power of Satan anywhere can break the seals on this book. And John starts crying. He starts crying, and then one of the elders said, whoa, don't cry, John. John, don't cry. Look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah can open the book. And can't you imagine John looking around? And he don't see no lion. What's he see? He sees a lamb. He sees a lamb. Verse 6, then I saw a lamb. And then look at how he describes it. Looking as it had been slain. He saw Mary's little lamb, folks. And it looked like it had been slain. Folks, that's the souvenirs that Jesus took back with him from earth. That's the scars. That's the emblems of redemption that he took from earth back to heaven with him. Looking like it had been slain. But did you see this? Standing in the center. Standing in the center. This lamb wasn't laying down. This is talking about the resurrection. This lamb, the grave couldn't hold this lamb. This lamb standing in the center. And now he is making intercession for you and for me. As we read on in verse 6, encircled by four living creatures and the elders, he had seven horns. Now, we all know seven is the perfect word, perfect number, I mean. He had seven horns, seven eyes. Horns symbolizes power. What's eyes? Says it symbolizes the seven spirits of God sent out to all the earth. That's the vision. This lamb can see through. It can see the hearts of men. It can see through anything. This Mary's little lamb has all the power and the vision. Folks, what I want you to see is the victory. Victory comes in verse 7. He came and he took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Mary's little lamb took the scroll out of the right hand of the Father because he was worthy. And now he makes intercession. But the thing is, he makes intercession for those who have believed, who have confessed, who have repented, and who have what? Been washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's who he makes intercession for. So this Christmas season, can I ask you a question? If you're here tonight or if you're watching by Facebook, have you made that decision? We're going to sing a song right here in just a second. And I asked Gary to lead this song tonight as the invitation song. Now, the invitation is it's a set time that we have given here to come forward and to get your life right, to be baptized if you've never been baptized, or to rededicate your life. Now, you can do that any time, but we've set aside a special time. But the verse in this song, it says, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour, right here, right now? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? That's victory. That's victory, folks. If you want victory, it's going to take being washed in the blood of the Lamb. And that means being baptized. Gary's going to lead us in the song right here. And if you've never done that, I encourage you to do that. If you'd like to rededicate your life tonight, we're here for you. Won't you do that right now as together we stand and as we sing?